Good afternoon, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson alongside Bo Wolf here in the Xfinity studio for a special Saturday edition of Eagles Live right here in Philadelphia, Eagles.com. A jam-packed show for you today. We're going to go back in time and chat with one of the greatest running backs in Eagles history. Brian Westbrook is here in the studio. The All-Pro will talk about, among other things, LeSean McCoy. And I actually got to ask him which of the two is actually better. We can let you guys debate as well out there as you're watching the show, calling in here 215-339-6709 or joining us as well on our live chat. We also have Ross Tucker from Sirius XM Radio. And Bo chats with Sheil Kapadia, who has done a very good job of compiling an early projection of the 53-man roster. Bo and Sheil will debate that and kind of see where Sheil might be going with what they're going to do with defensive line and some of the other key position battles. But we have so much to talk about on the show because Monday night, the Eagles will have their dress rehearsal for the regular season in their second preseason game, taking on the New England Patriots. And fans, the hot topic question of the day is quite simply, which player on the Eagles team do you want to watch the most come Monday night? And for me, I think the guy I'm most excited to watch, and it's going to be a little bit of a surprise, I'm going to look at the starting defense and go with linebacker Michael Kendricks, because one of the big questions about him coming into this Eagles team is how is he going to hold up against tight ends? He's going against two of the best in the league in Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez.
Absolutely, and then you also say that a guy like Nate Allen and Kurt Coleman will be involved in covering those tight ends, so you want to see how that defense does. The secondary maybe steps up a little bit after last week's performance, and then on offense, first of all, you got to look at Michael Vick. How does he bounce back from the hurt hand, the hurt thumb? I think he's looked pretty sharp in practice this week. Good test with the Patriots. And then, obviously, the left tackle position. How do King Dunlap and Demetrius Bell state their case for the starting job?
Certainly. So we want your take. Who do you want to see? I'm sure a lot of people are going to say Nick Foles after his stellar preseason debut. What is he going to do working against a second-team offense? So, again, you want to chime in 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. We're also going to broadcast head coach Andy Reid's press conference following today's practice. All signs point to that pretty much all the players you expect to be out there on the field are present. Of course, the likes of Jason Babb and Riley Cooper, Mike Patterson, those guys still not practicing, but all signs appear that the likes of Curtis Marsh, Nnamdi Asamoah, Jamar Chaney, those guys should be healthy and good to go for Monday night, but we'll get the definitive word from the head coach himself and find out what he's looking for in this Monday night's contest, which again is going to be the dress rehearsal because next week's game, I really shouldn't even say next week, it's the end of the week, just a couple days after the Monday night showdown, the Eagles will travel to Cleveland to take on the Browns, the same team that they have to play 2 weeks later in the season opener. Really odd schedule there for the Eagles as they continue their regular season preparation. But Monday night, our coverage begins live with the kickoff show. Myself and the great Adam Kaplan will be hosting at 7:30 p.m. We'll check in with Bo Wolf and Dave Spadaro at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. We'll have live in-game coverage where you can check out our live chat. We'll have photos. You can listen to Merrill and Mike with the live radio broadcast. And then Adam and I will come back for the halftime report and also for the post-game show presented by Rico, where we'll broadcast the press conferences live, and Bo and Dave will get some excellent guests via interview inside the Eagles locker room. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick commercial break, and on the other side, we'll get into the hot topic. Who do you want to see Monday night? We have a lot of great guests, a lot of great calls coming up. It's an exciting show, a special Saturday edition of Eagles Live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, Eagles fans. Evan Mathis here.
Jason Kelsey.
The 2012 Eagles season kicks off Sunday, August 26th at Eagles Flight Night.
At Lincoln Financial Field. But the real cool thing, the first 10,000 get a life-size DeShaun Jackson bobblehead.
Look how small it is.
How did you even do that? It's swivels.
Shaped. Tickets start at $12, and all proceeds go to the Eagles Youth Partnership.
Get your tickets today.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head.
Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is people like options. I mean, you take Geico. You can call them anytime you feel like saving money. It don't matter, day or night. Use your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, whatever. The point is, you have options. Ah, how convenient.
Oi, crab cakes. What are you looking at?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Again, the hot topic question, which player are you most looking forward to seeing this Monday night? And we're going to start off the show by going to Brad from New York. Brad, who do you want to see on Monday night?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi, Brad.
I'm interested in Nick Foles. Simply because I need to have some kind of insurance just in case Mike Vick gets injured. I'm not too sure what Mike Kafka and although Trent had a good game. Trent Edwards had a good game in the first preseason game. Let's see what Nick Foles is able to do. I'm curious. This year I'm remaining quietly optimistic. In the years gone by I've been very confident about the team, but this year I'm going reserved. So, you know, hopefully they can, you know, surpass expectations and not just get to a Super Bowl, but finally win a Super Bowl.
Brad, could Nick Foles do enough to make you confident that he should be the number two quarterback?
I think after this game on Monday, depending on what I see from him, yes. I would feel, surprisingly, I would feel more confident with him as number two as opposed to Mike Kafka. Let's see. I think I'll be able to put my finger on it by the final, by the third preseason game. I think based on what he's, how much is thrown at him, let's see how he adjusts to the, the in-game blitzes that, but then again, it's not that much you're going to see from defenses in the preseason, but still, let me see how he adjusts to the blitzes and that gives me, some kind of confidence, and then hopefully he'll be ready to go.
Brad, I certainly would expect that Nick Foles would be a popular option for this year. To me, I actually asked Marty this yesterday during his press conference about if he was looking forward to seeing Foles going against a higher level, a higher caliber defense out there on the field, and Marty kind of played off like, it's an NFL player, it's an NFL player, but no, there's quite a difference between the third and fourth string guys who are going to be playing out the string versus the starters out there on the field. To me, I'm very much looking forward to seeing what he does. So far, he's passed the eye test in every which way, shape, and form. You brought up a great point that you're not going to see him going against defenses that are scheming against him with blitzes and different coverage and looks, but from what we have to work with so far, certainly he's passed the test. I really wonder, and I wanted to ask Marty this, but I just know I wouldn't get a good answer. Would Marty and would Andy Reid be comfortable going with a rookie quarterback as your backup going into the season? That's a great debate to me right there.
Yeah, well, look, Cam did it in Carolina. The guy was drafted. There had to have been something that the coach has seen, for them to actually want him on the team. That's number one. Number two, we're not going to find out anything about him unless, you know, he gets thrown in there. So, you know, let's see. I have confidence. I have confidence in the guy. I really do.
And it does seem, thanks for the call, Brad, it does seem like the league now is shifting a little bit towards allowing some rookies to play early at quarterback. It looks like there's a good chance there's going to be four quarterbacks starting the season as number one guys who are rookies this year. And Foles, I think you can make a case that he's ready. The debate is Mike Kafka certainly knows more of the offense, is more comfortable with the reads in the offense. But on the flip side, there are throws that Nick Foles can make that I don't think that Mike Kafka can make. I think long-term, there's no question he's your backup guy. But right now, that's the gray area. Do you go with the guy who knows the offense better, can run it a little bit better, or the guy who can make more difficult throws?
You made a great point there about the league shifting more towards the younger players. And we've seen that throughout the course of Andy Reid's career, where rookies didn't get on the field a whole lot early on with Andy Reid. You rarely saw it. But it seemed to be going towards once like Deshaun got drafted and Macklin and McCoy that he got to the point where he's trusting some of these young guys. And there's other guys that were here and there. But by and large, rookies struggle to get on the field. And going to what you're saying about rookie quarterbacks in the league, Brandon Whedon, by the way, is going to be one of those guys that we'll see week one when the Eagles play the Browns. But it seems like coaches, instead of saying, here's the playbook, you must learn it before you can go out there, coaches are like, wait a second, let's work with the kid. Let's do what we can to make him succeed and then build upon it as time goes on instead of just saying, well, he hasn't, you know, captured a playbook, he hasn't mastered it, we can't put him out there. No, these kids are talented. Give them the tools. Allow them to win. Don't try to just force your philosophy onto them and hoping that they'll adjust. You got to be able to have a little give and take, and I think we've seen that, you know, over the last few years, especially last season with the emergence of the guys like Cam Newton, Andy Dalton in Cincinnati.
All right, back to the phone lines. Now we have Derek from Ottawa. Derek, hot topic. Who are you looking forward to see on Monday night against the Patriots?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Bo. Me, personally, I am really excited to see Michael Kendricks play on Monday because, I don't know, the kid just looks really, really good. He looks really fast. He looks really intense. Like, whenever you talk to him, he just looks really focused on what he needs to do. He's not concentrating on anything outside of football. He just looks like he has one set in mind, and that's to be the best player he can be, and I'm really excited to see what he can do against someone like Tom Brady, who we know is really, really good at getting the ball out really quickly when he sees people coming. So if he can get home on a couple blitzes, maybe pick him off, I'd be really, really excited to see that.
Kendrick's first game last week, to me, actually was sort of similar to Foles in that there were some growing pains, but he did some things at linebacker that nobody else on this team can do, none of the other linebackers can do. He is so fast, he can go sideline to sideline, and he's a very good tackler as well. I think that he's going to be a stud.
You know, the way he was able to read the defenses, snuff out some of those plays by the Steelers, certainly the instincts are there. As Bo mentioned, the athleticism is there. With regards to the blitzes, we've seen that in practices. We saw that at training camp that he was utilized on blitzes, and that's something that he did very well while he was at California, where he was the defensive player of the year in the Pac-12 last year. I just don't know if we're going to see a whole lot of that, you know, going against the Patriots. You don't want to show your hand a whole lot. I think it's going to be a lot about, you know, can they run the base defenses? Can they run the sub packages effectively? Can he do well in coverage? I don't think we're going to get to see too many of the exotic schemes that Juan Castillo and Todd Bowles will have planned for opposing teams this season. Quite honestly, something that I was actually talking about with our writer Patrick Wall this morning, I would almost wonder that if it was a regular season contest, would we see maybe Nnamdi Asamoah on the tight ends and maybe Michael Kendricks using more of a blitzer role? Would we see some things mixed around like that? So hopefully we'll get to see Kendricks working covers. That was one of the big things about him coming out was his size. He's only 5'11". You're going against all these 6'5", 6'6", tight ends now. How will he be able to hold up? So far, he's passed the test. You know, I loved what I saw from him in the Steelers game. Now this will be a different test here, and especially he'll have extended playing time.
I don't think there's any question that if it was the regular season, we would see Nnamdi on the tight ends a fair amount. And I wouldn't even be surprised if we see it this week because the cat's already out of the bag that Nnamdi is going to be used to cover
some
tight ends. So maybe he gets some work going up against guys like Gronkowski and Hernandez. It'll be interesting to see.
To see Kendricks cover Gronkowski is something I'm going to be looking at really, really closely because that'll be one of the best tests, I think, for the regular season because Gronkowski, as you know, is a superstar tight end.
Absolutely.
Kendrick can show that he can cover him. I wouldn't really have any worries about him covering anybody else in the league, because Gronkowski and Hernandez, I can't even downplay Hernandez, because that guy is really good too. Plus, I think Hernandez is a bit faster than Gronkowski is, so if he can cover either of those guys, I don't really have a problem with him being a starting strong side linebacker, to tell you the truth.
That would be a good start.
Honestly, like, he's the number one person looking for, but just, like, the secondary guy I'm kind of excited to see. I know he's not going to be the starter, but Demaryius Johnson, that guy just looks like he has so much potential to be, like, a superstar and dump off passes and, like, screen passes and stuff like that. He looks like he can take it home every time he gets the ball in his hand, so I'll be looking for him, too, as well.
Good stuff, Derek. Thanks for the call. And, you know, Demaryius is another guy along those lines of rookies playing early. The Eagles coaching staff has shown some confidence in Demaryius, throwing him in there. He's the fourth receiver right now with Macklin healthy, so he's a guy who can make some plays. And I'm also very excited to see the return game again. A very, very good debut for them, him and Brandon Boykin against the Steelers. I'd like to see them continue that, a couple more explosive plays. I feel very good about the return situation.
I do as well. And going back to Demaryius as a receiver, the fact that, you know, you look back in the spring, was very, very fast, lightning quick. You know, they're in T-shirts and shorts. That's the time where you expected Johnson to thrive. But there are all these questions about the fact that he didn't play college football last season at Tulsa. You know, what would it be like when he has to put the pads on, when there's the potential to get hit? You know, that quickness was still there. The confidence was still there. The fearlessness was still there. And he was able to make plays day in and day out during training camp. So as a receiver, he's been effective. As a returner, we got to see that big return, even though it did get called back due to a block in the back. Nonetheless, the return game was lacking last season. There was nothing special about it. We had one exciting punt return from Deshaun all season that came against the Giants. There was one decent kickoff return, and that was by Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, and he got a high ankle sprain on the play. So certainly just so much more to look forward to from the return game this season.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break now. I'm going to step out, and you're going to bring in Ross Tucker of SiriusXM, talk a little offensive line and state of the Eagles, and we will be back right here on Eagles Live.
Just something about the Meadowlands, and something about that stadium, something about New York that kind of always triggers the best in myself.
Winning takes care of everything. Win on three. 1, 2, 3. Win.
We got to keep working, roll our sleeves up, and get the work done in practice, and be kind of a blue collar team.
The 2500 Club. Get together, baby.
Yeah. Yo, we got it. It's all about bringing your A game and understanding what it takes to be a Philadelphia Eagle.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Final round.
The audience choice ingredient?
Bud Light.
And here we go.
Looks like Chef Dubois is emulsifying the Bud Light into a foam. What's his competitor doing?
He appears to be having a really... really good time.
A Bud Light reduction for Dubois. And his opponent?
Also improvising nicely. Let's see that again.
Judges?
I like the use of the pressure cooker to tenderize the beef.
But also the use of the cell phone to order the pizza.
That's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Sorry, Chef. We're going to need more ingredients.
So anyway, I've been to a lot of places. You know, I've helped a lot of people save a lot of money. But today, things have been a little strange.
Meep meep.
Meep meep. What a strange place.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Flanked by Roy Hello and also Cooley, who takes the catch. Makes the catch and he is belted down. What a hit by Asamoah. Cooley made the catch in the flat. Asamoah just leveled him for a two-yard loss. What a play by Asamoah.
He makes the catch, but he didn't net very much.
What's up, Eagles fans? This is Nnamdi Asamoah, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, Eagles fans, I'm Chris McPherson, and my man over here, Ross Tucker. Let me go down the list. SiriusXM Radio, the ESPN Football Today podcast.
Yep.
You're writing for which website?
I'm writing for SportsUSA now.
SportsUSA. I have a great column on there every week. Thank you for joining us in the studio. I mean, you're busy as can be, but you've had a chance here to spend some time with the Eagles. You've actually spent 2 days with the team during your training camp tour. What do you see from this team that's much different than the team that you saw last season that stumbled to an 8-8 finish?
Well, I just think that they're much more comfortable. You know, you just look at them, everybody kind of seems at ease with where they are. I don't really get the sense myself that they are as, I don't know how to say it. Last year, it just seemed like there was so much pressure. I don't feel that. And you'd think maybe that there would be with Andy Reid and what Jeffrey Lurie said after the season, but you don't sense that when you talk to the players. There's certainly a sense of urgency, but really a comfort level about what they think they're going to do this year.
Is it a quiet confidence? Because for the most part, the team has flown under the radar in the offseason. They took care of their own, re-signed their own players. Is it sort of a quiet confidence that they know how good they are, and now that they have the team chemistry on top of that,
I would say that's a very good way to describe it. I mean, because they are confident, and they should be. I mean, I don't really see a weakness. I mean, if I want to nitpick, I can say maybe the running back depth behind LeSean McCoy, maybe the tight end depth behind Brent Celek. But for the most part, this is a loaded roster. If they stay healthy, knock on wood, you can say it with a lot of teams in the league. But I don't see anything right now that's going to bring them down.
As a former offensive lineman in the league, Ross, what is your take on the offensive line situation? Left tackle, they lose Jason Pierce. Best left tackle in the game last season.
Yeah.
Best overall offensive lineman, period. You bring in Demetrius Bell, who started in Buffalo and, you know, expected to step in and be the starter, but now you have King Dunlap, who's a veteran, been in the system for a few years. He's taken over that spot. It seems like that could be the one spot on the team where it's a little uneven. What's your assessment of the offensive line situation?
Well, I think that they feel good about the fact that both of those guys have started a lot of games in the league. Maybe King, not that many, but that both of those guys can get the job done at left tackle. Personally, I guess I would say I'm a little bit concerned because if Demetrius Bell had kind of taken the job and run with it thus far, I'm not sure they would have put King in there for the game on Monday night. But, you know, we spoke with Andy today, and he said that when they re-signed him, they promised King he would get an opportunity, so he's going to get his opportunity. So, you know, they're certainly selling it as an opportunity for King and not an indictment of Demetrius. And I didn't see anything in the first preseason game that would have been an indictment of Demetrius. So maybe it's true. I just think, you know, because of how many starts Demetrius had and because of the money they're paying him, I think most people thought, well, he'll be the guy, you know, open and shut.
As a former offensive lineman, what's your take on Howard Mudd and the job that he's done revamping this offensive line that worked under a completely different philosophy, had totally different types of players, that in one season he's able to put four new starters in there, and you see the reduction in sacks, you saw the performance LeSean McCoy had. What's your take as an offensive lineman on Howard Mudd and what he's done?
Well, I'm jealous. I wish I, you know, I had 9 offensive line coaches, but I never had Howard Mudd, and I'd love to have worked with Howard. You know, every offensive line coach, Chris, has different philosophies, and I just think I really would have fit in well with Howard's philosophies, and I really agree with his philosophies. You know, he's more about attacking the defense, not letting them attack you. I'm not a big believer in drop back sets, vertical sets, they attack. And it worked for him last year. I mean, you see what he did with Jason Kelce. You see what he did with Evan Mathis. I mean, Evan Mathis got paid. At some point, Jason Kelce will get paid. Todd Harriman just got paid again. I mean, Howard Mudd's making it rain for these guys.
How about Danny Watkins, the team's first-round pick last season? You know, it was under the spotlight. It was something that was new to him, and it didn't seem to adjust real well to him, especially being thrown to the fire. We haven't talked about him that much at training camp. How would you assess how he performed down the stretch when he was able to start, and where do you think is his ceiling now that he's got a full offseason under his
belt? Well, I think he got a lot better as the year went, and I think talking with some of the guys, he looked a lot better this offseason. That's a big difference. I mean, remember, we all know his backstory about being from Canada, the firefighter, but to go from left tackle, where you're in a left-handed stance, you're pretty much just blocking the defensive end, to moving to the right side, different stance, things happen faster inside, you're going against bigger guys. I think that really took some getting used to for him. I think, like the rest of the team, he really did and will benefit from the OTAs, the mini camps, a full training camp. I think he was yet another example of the lockout shortened season really hurting him last year.
What do you think as an offensive lineman? I know I keep using it, but I love that experience that you bring to the table of having to go against this defensive line that comes in waves where you have, you wouldn't even get to see Jason Babin nor Trent Cole in the first preseason game. We'll get to see Trent Cole on Monday night. But then you have guys like Brandon Graham, Phil Punt, who was playing in Canada a short time ago, from the inside, Fletcher Cox, a first-round pick, Derek Landry, all these guys coming after it. How tough is it for an offensive line to have to withstand throughout the course of the game, not just four quality guys, but essentially eight quality guys that are coming at you?
I think by my count, Chris, there's probably 10 or 11 they have. You know, I said to Howie Roseman, I think they'll be able to trade one or two of them. I really do. As it comes time to final cuts, when teams see who's healthy, I think that they're going to be able to trade one of those guys because you can't keep them all. I mean, the most I've ever heard is a team keeping 10 defensive linemen, and a lot of teams will keep 8 or 9, but you said it. These guys just keep coming and coming and coming, and that's no fun for an offensive lineman either, you know, because you're doing every snap, and it's sort of a mental thing. It's like, oh, my gosh, another guy. Oh, my gosh, another guy. And when they're all legit guys that can really rush the passer, it's not a good feeling.
D'Amico Ryans was a big acquisition this offseason to solidify the middle of the defense. Where do you think he's at in his game, getting adjusted to back to being a 4-3 linebacker and adjusting to the role of having to be the guy for this Eagles defense? I know he was that in Houston, but the expectations now are that he's coming and being a savior of sorts almost for this defense.
Well, I think the biggest area where he'll help is just leadership, you know, sort of having been there and done that, calling the defense. Now, he's more comfortable in a 4-3 than he was in a 3-4, and I also think he's a year further removed from the injury. I don't think any of us really know until we see him down in, down out over the course of the year if he's the same guy that was racking up 100-plus tackles for as long as he did. But I certainly think he'll be an upgrade to what they did last year. And I'll tell you this much. That's another example of depth. I mean, their backups at all three spots are the guys that started last year. So they've got tons of experience if one of the starters at linebacker goes down.
Now, you're working with Brian Westbrook on SiriusXM Radio. You were here at the NovaCare Complex on Friday. What was it like working with the All-Pro, and you know, what is he bringing to the media game now?
So it was great. You know, we were all teasing him, so were a lot of the players and coaches, about the fact that he didn't do a ton of interviews when he was a player. I mean, I don't know why guys like Westbrook and Mangini and some of these guys get in the media. I mean, next thing we know, Bill Belichick's going to be hosting SportsCenter. It's unbelievable, some of these guys that decide to get in the media when they weren't exactly media-friendly. But look, he's a very smart guy. He's well-spoken, and I think he did an excellent job. And just thinking about Brian, you know, as I think you know, Chris, I grew up in Reading, Pennsylvania, an hour west of Philly, so gigantic Eagles fans. I mean, Randall Cunningham, Keith Byers, Keith Jackson, Seth Joyner. I mean, those are my guys. So to do a show with Brian here, and he's the all-time leader in total yards from scrimmage for this team. It's kind of cool. It's like, wait a minute, I'm sitting next to the guy that has more yards than anybody that's ever worn the uniform that I grew up wanting to wear. Although we had to give Andy Reid some flack because he never actually gave me the chance to wear the Kelly Green? Is that the colors?
Midnight green. Back in the day.
Kelly Green was back when I was a fan. There you go.
I know that's what the fans want to see, obviously. Were you a big media guy? I know you were an offensive lineman, and that's not
well. I was very media friendly, but I don't think that many people wanted to talk to me. I was a journeyman O lineman, or maybe when I was starting some games at guard or center. But I grew up wanting to get in the media. I grew up, you know, my dad's 5'9", 170 pounds, so I grew up wanting to go to Syracuse and write for Sports Illustrated, or you know, be a broadcaster. And then to be truthful, well, I became a much better player than I ever thought I would. So I got the chance to go to Princeton because of football. I thought, I got to do that. And then I got a chance to play in the pros for a while. And I thought I'd give it a shot just because I like it so much. And it's really worked out. You mentioned I'm fortunate to have a lot of gigs, a lot of opportunities to talk about football. And to me, this is the next best thing from playing.
Ross Tucker, we went through the list, SiriusXM Radio. He's doing preseason games for the St. Louis Rams, ESPN.
NBC Sports Network. Yes, Network.
Sports USA. There you go. It's a whole list here. Ross Tucker, thank you very much for taking a few minutes to join us here inside the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Looking for a place to get the very latest on your Philadelphia Eagles? Then join us right here at 7 o'clock for Eagles Nightly, your one-stop shop for Eagles news, highlights, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Final round.
The audience choice ingredient?
Bud Light!
And here we go.
Looks like Chef Dubois is emulsifying the Bud Light into a foam. What's his competitor doing?
He appears to be having a really... really good time.
A Bud Light reduction for Dubois. And his opponent?
Also improvising nicely. Let's see that again.
Judges?
I like the use of the pressure cooker to tenderize the beef.
But also the use of the cell phone to order the pizza.
That's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Sorry, Chef. We're going to need more ingredient.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
On my journey across America, I found new ways to tell people about saving money. This is Bobby. Say hello, Bobby.
Hello, Bobby.
Do you know you could save hundreds on car insurance over the phone, online, or at your local Geico office? Tell us, Bobby, what would you do with all those savings?
Hire a bit of ventriloquist. Your lips are moving.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, Eagles fans. Evan Mathis here.
Jason Kelsey.
The 2012 Eagles season kicks off Sunday, August 26th at Eagles Flight Night.
At Lincoln Financial Field. But the real cool thing, the first 10,000 get a life-size Deshaun Jackson bobblehead.
Look how small it is.
How did you even do that? It swivels when you shake it. Other than
tickets start at $12 and all proceeds go to the Eagles Youth Partnership.
Get your tickets today.
Welcome back to Eagles Live. Great stuff there from Ross Tucker. We appreciate him taking a few minutes to join us here inside studio. Again, later on in the show, we're going to have former Eagles All-Pro running back Brian Westbrook and also Sheil Kapadia from PhillyMag.com. He launched a new blog recently with Tim McManus, Birds 24/7, and he'll give his roster projection as to who he thinks right now would make the 53-man final roster. And also, head coach Andy Reid will deliver his final address before the team travels to Foxborough, Massachusetts to take on the Patriots on Monday night. Again, we have complete coverage here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com beginning at 7:30 p.m. If you want to check it out, it's going to be nationally telecast on ESPN. It'll also be shown locally on 6 ABC. The hot topic question of the day, which Eagle are you most looking forward to seeing in action this Monday night? So far, we've got no surprises in my estimation. Nick Foles, can he build upon his great debut against the Steelers? And also Michael Kendricks, a good star for him as well, and he's going up against those vaunted New England tight ends. Who are some of the other names you think might be thrown into the mix here by the fans?
Well, I'm always looking to see how Steve Vallos does.
Of course.
As he fights for that number two center job. Elsewhere along the offensive line, I do want to see Julian Vandervelde have a bounce-back game. He didn't have a very good game against the Steelers. He needs to fight for that roster spot. I'd like to see him do well. And how that whole interior backup shakes out with Mike Gibson and Dallas Reynolds, those guys are really in a tough battle for maybe two roster spots.
I'm intrigued to see. I'll stick with that interior offensive line for a second with Dennis Kelly. Very impressive start. Marty Morningweg has been very high on him with the performance that he's had in training camp. Is he a guy that's now learning both the right tackle and right guard positions? Is that kind of hybrid? I know they want all their offensive linemen at best to have two positions under their belt so it could save roster space. You know, is that going to maybe negate one of those guys, the Vandervelde's, the Mike Gibson's, the Steve Vallis's? Will that take one of their spots if he's able to show that he could play the position at a proficient level? I'm interested to see where he's going to line up in the game on Monday night.
Well, yeah, that's sort of like King Dunlap plan where he can play both guard positions. I still think there's going to be at least 9 guys on the offensive line. So
agreed.
I think there's still two spots open there. All right, back to the phone lines. Chris from Philly, hot topic. Which player are you most looking forward to see against the Patriots on Monday night?
Well, actually, I'm interested in seeing Brian Rule and see how he plays
on Monday.
Yes.
Because against the Steelers, why he wasn't, I mean, he was athletic. He made some plays, but I also seen him get blown up by a guard. So, I mean, I just want to see if he makes some progression, you know, as the preseason goes along going into the season, and if he may have to be replaced or not.
Well, and
that's
a good point, Chris, because now Jamar Chaney is back healthy, and he has his eyes on that starting weak side linebacker job. So that is one of the good real competitions, maybe the only starting job that is still up for grabs other than left tackle. Roll and Chaney both have their work cut out for him against the Patriots.
Definitely do. I agree with that.
Anybody else, Chris?
Actually, I want to see how because there was confusion somewhat between Nnamdi and Jaquan Jarrett. So now that Nate Allen's back, I want to see maybe if there's cohesion between those two because they're the starters and they've been, you know, running with the ones for most of the preseason. So maybe if Nnamdi's playing, see how it maybe, you know, him and Nate Allen's communication is going when, you know, Tom Brady's on the field. So
I think that's a great one, Chris. You're on fire today.
Oh, thank you.
No, thank you very much for the phone call there, Chris. Going back to Brian Roll. He was a guy who, on that fourth and short play, he jumped to try to get over the line of scrimmage instead of just staying on his feet and trying to read the play. Then there was the one play, I think it was the big Chris Rainey run up the middle, where he got blocked into D'Amico Ryans and took him out of the play as well. So certainly you're looking for a bounce-back game from Brian Roll, who had, you know, very productive, promising rookie season. You're hoping he would build upon that and really secure that weak side linebacker job, but Jamar Chaney is keeping him in his sights, and Roll has not been able, well, he has a job for now, but he's not been able to kind of lock it down to the point where it's definitely going to be his. I mean, the fact alone is he's been taken off the sub packages with the first team is highlighting that right there. And Nate Allen, I think it's more so not, I do want to see Nate Allen, and I'm excited to see him because I really believe that he's going to be the playmaker that, you know, fans have been craving for from the secondary. But Jaquan Jarrett, is there any hope for him whatsoever that he can bounce back from his performance? Just lacking confidence right now.
He needs to have a standout game.
He really needs to take upon. Look, coaches were happy with his performance in training camp. You know, is that a mirage? Is he a guy that just can't perform when the lights go on? There's a chance of that. There's a chance that he might not be able to adjust to the speed of the NFL. You start hearing things like, you know, that he's not quite getting the playbook and he's still, you know, reacting. He's not able to diagnose the plays fast enough. If he's a rookie, that's fine. He's a rookie that went through, you know, a short offseason last year with the lockout. I understand that. You give him a pass, but when he's had a full offseason, he's been with the coaches the whole time. I have a hard time, you know, giving the guy another chance after something like that. I understand that not every guy, especially a top-round pick, is going to come out and be a star right off the bat, but, you know, we're getting to the point where you've got to show some progress out there in the field, and we just haven't seen it yet.
Well, and I think an encouraging thing that we saw last year from Howie Roseman is that they're willing to cut bait with guys who were drafted fairly early if they're not ready to play. Third-round pick Daniel Teo-Nessim was cut after 1 year, same with Trevard Lindley. And listen, Jaquan Jarrett is not on scholarship anymore. He needs to earn his spot on this roster. His back is up against the wall, and we're going to see how he reacts.
You know, it's a great point there about how the Eagles are willing to let go guys that just aren't, you know, pulling their weight anymore. It's a thing where a lot of fans, I know, were kind of thinking that the Eagles overdrafted him, getting him in the second round. But, I mean, there were teams that were going to take him shortly after that if the Eagles didn't. This was a guy that the Eagles really liked. He just hasn't been able to put out in the field. So, again, last year you can understand because of the whole lockout situation and having to be thrown into the fire. But, you know, with the full offseason, you thought you would see some progress. You've seen some good things during training camp. I mean, seeing him at the practice every day, it looked like that he was finally getting to a point. He was making some plays. You know, physically he was able to make some strong tackles out there, which is he's known to do. Or that's what that was his bio coming out of Temple, that's what he could do. But, you know, hopefully he'll be able to rebound and fight back with a strong performance. You know, his teammates, especially in the secondary, still praise that he has talent. They say he's a good guy. It's not like that they're trashing him or saying that, you know, this is a guy that doesn't have a chance to make it. You're waiting for the light to go out, and hopefully it will on Monday night.
Absolutely. Anybody else in terms of those backups who you are looking to see, that second team?
Second team, look, Jose Hansen, I talked with him after practice, and he's going to go after it with the broken or dislocated finger, the dislocated pinky. You know, he wasn't able to really use his hand in practice, and that's going to be something. This is a lot of press coverage being used by the team. Is he going to have to be able to knock down a pass? Is he going to need to use that hand in the game situation? How's that going to work for him? So if all signs point that he will play, and you figure he'll be out there with the entire first team, when does Brandon Boykin get on the field? Quite honestly, this is the kind of test that you would love for him to have going against the likes of a Wes Welker, you know, one of the best inside passing games in the entire National Football League. Probably, I would have to say the best inside passing game in the National Football League. This will be a great test for him in that second team nickel package. You want to see how far he's developed. This is a guy that they're looking to eventually seize the job. I think fans were expecting him to win the job before week one. Hanson's had a strong training camp, a strong preseason debut against the Steelers. He's not letting go of that job anytime soon, but you want to see how far his boy can progress. So he's a guy that I'm looking at there. On offense, I'll stay with, you know, with the receivers, cornerbacks here. Marvin McNutt. I mean, he's a guy that flashed early in training camp. You know, a guy that when you saw him in the spring, he's not the most athletic receiver. You know, he's not a guy. He's a guy that has done better with the pads going on. He's a guy that when the physicality is taking place, when the hitting is live, he has shined. You've seen him be physical in the run game. He's willing to block guys. He's willing to do those little things. But when you're looking at how many receivers the team will keep right now, I think they're probably going to keep five, and I don't see him as one of those top five guys. I think they could keep six. I'm just going off of years past. He's a guy that I don't know if he would make it if you were expecting him to get on the practice squad. So he's a guy that maybe because of that you would keep at that number six spot, but I think Riley Cooper is still making it. I think he had a strong spring. I know it's disappointing that he gets to the collarbone. You're expecting he and McNutt to kind of battle it out there. But at this point, I'm going to say I would expect Cooper to make it and hopefully be ready for the season opener against the Browns. And I think Demaurice Johnson's on this team. So.
I think Demaris is on the team as well. I think I agree that McNutt is probably six on the pecking order, but right now I'm leaning towards them keeping six, but that's one of the few spots on the very end of the roster. It's going to be interesting to see how they massage it.
Six receivers typically is a luxury, and you know there's six quality players, and you would definitely make the case for keeping them all, but when you look at what are they going to do with this defensive line, are they going to possibly keep more than 10 on the roster? You know, Ross Tucker brought up the point that you rarely would keep that many. It's just such a luxury to have, but obviously if you have a promising prospect, you don't want him to go to another team. He's a guy that you think will develop for you. You know, you don't want to risk losing him by him going on the practice squad. It's going to be really intriguing to see what Marvin McNutt can do. How much tougher can he make the decision for Howie and Andy in these last couple preseason games?
I think you can afford to go six because you're not going big at any of the other skill positions. Only three running backs, three quarterbacks, only two tight ends. I think that you can massage a six in there, but it is going to be interesting to see.
Even in past year, I'm just going, you know, through my mind quickly over Andy Reid rosters, and they usually just don't keep six receivers, and that's, you know, with that in mind, knowing that they're going to go the standard three running backs.
They had six last year when Chad Hall was on the team.
When he was on the team, but he wasn't on the team initially coming out of camp,
right,
though.
But,
so
I mean, throughout the year, there are times when they have six receivers.
Yeah,
it's not uncommon at all.
No, it's not uncommon, but it's a luxury. Again, this would be a situation where I could see them potentially doing it. We have to see how he shakes out these last couple preseason games. Again, that is definitely one of the things that you want to see here is how does he react going up in his second preseason game. Didn't do a lot of receiving. There's some promising signs as a downfield blocker. That's something you want to see from the Eagles receivers as well. It's not just going to be the flashy Demaurice Johnson, you know, Marty Gilliard touchdown plays. They got to do the little things as well. And that's something that McNutt is really good at.
So you see there's some Twitter reaction to the hot topic, some love for Nick Foles. Obviously, Eagles are going to be keeping an eye on him, Eagles fans as well. I wanted to go back quickly to what you were talking about with the nickel position getting tested by Wes Welker. Remember when these two teams met during the regular season last year, Wes Welker torched Jose Hansen.
Yeah.
8 catches for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. That was not a good game for Jose. And,
no.
And it was Hansen, not Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie in that
Correct.
Game.
Correct.
So maybe there is an opportunity if you see Boykin get a chance to go up against Welker and do a good job. This could be an opportunity for him to make a move on that first team nickel, which so far has been exclusively played by Hosalia.
Yes, I mean, Wes Welker torched a lot of defenses in the middle of the field last season. But again, this is where I think where Nate Allen, who I believe struggled in that game as well, can step up and help out as well. It's another guy that you want to see in that situation. Certainly, though, that middle of the field, this is where I remember talking to coaches and guys about this throughout training camp, about how much better the middle of the defense is going to be. You've invested the first-round pick in Fletcher Cox. You get a D'Amico Ryans to be your middle linebacker. You draft a Michael Kendricks in the second round, and then you have Nate Allen, you know, coming off, you know, he had the injury, obviously, his rookie season. It took some time to adjust last season. He was fully primed at the end of last year, and I expect him to carry that into this season and be the playmaker that the coaches are expecting him to be. I just feel like that middle of the defense is going to be much better in 2012, an area they really needed to improve, and I think this will be a good test to see how far it's come along.
All right, let's take a little break here on Eagles Live. Back with more from you, 215-339-6709. Tell us which players you're going to be watching as the Eagles take on the Patriots on Monday Night Football.
Seen the signs on the passers-by, something's got to give. Can't be free, but it's good for me. But this good thing comes along, and I can't deny too long.
Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Feel good to be back out in the water.
Oh, fishy.
Get up. Oh, that's cool. No, that's like life-changing.
Nnamdi understands that we need people like him to really have an impact on our life.
When you have a child, you really get a new view on life. I'd never had changed a diaper before, but it's not as bad as I thought.
Bear blades, get you some.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
All right, welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And just to make sure you stay in tune with everything that's going on in the social media realm, make sure you go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/social, from Google Plus Hangouts to Pinterest to Facebook and obviously our Twitter, @Eagles and @EaglesInsider. So make sure you get connected through the Philadelphia Eagles on social, PhiladelphiaEagles.com/social. Make sure you check it out today to make sure you stay in tune with everything that's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles on the field, off the field, and in the social media realm. We're going to go to the phone lines. Jimmy from Durham, North Carolina. Jimmy, who is the player you are most looking forward to seeing in action on Monday night?
Well, I think I'd like to see that entire D-line to see just how good they are. You know, I think they're really special, so I'd like to see them, and then also just our regulars, Deshaun, Macklin, to see them hook up because they didn't get a chance to in that last game. So those are the two things I'm looking forward to, see that how good that D-line is.
Yeah, those, that D-line, no question, is extremely deep. Bunch of studs there. I'm actually interested to see Fletcher Cox, who's sort of flown under the radar a bit. Usually a guy who you pick as a top 15 pick, 11th overall, is going to get a little bit more buzz around this time of year. We haven't been talking too much about Fletcher Cox, and the coach has said that he's been playing very well. I'm interested to see if he creates some havoc in the middle of that Patriots offensive line.
Bo, in fact, you actually asked Juan Castillo point blank, would he be ready to contribute as a rookie? And Juan said he was confident that he would. Now, Fletcher was talking about how Jim Washburn, the defensive line coach, told him no pressure. I mean, this is a kid that's just so freakishly athletic, so outstanding out on the field during training camp. You definitely want to see him wreak havoc for this defensive line, but you also don't want to put the pressure on him, which is expected of first-round draft picks.
Still there, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm here. All right. I just want to say, too, you guys are doing a great job. I've been a big fan for years, but now I'm also a big and an Eagles fan. So, doing a great job. Keep it up.
Hey, Jimmy, we appreciate the phone call there. Also, the receivers, I'm going to just kind of lump in the whole first-team offense because you didn't have the likes of, you didn't have Brent Celek your first game, didn't have Jerry Maclin first game, and I'm surprised his name has not come up. The starting left tackle, King Dunlap, getting his chance to work with the first-team offense in a game-action situation. This is his chance to really put a stamp. Now, you think that Demetrius Bell at the end of the preseason will still emerge? You've gone that road.
I mean, I'm not sure. I think eventually he's going to be the left tackle. I don't know if it's going to be come week three, week one, but I do think eventually he's going
to
be the guy.
Well, King Dunlap can certainly stay his case and make it much, much tougher for Demetrius to get back with that first-team offense with a strong showing this Monday
and
night.
And at the same time, it's going to be interesting to see Demetrius because he only got to play six plays last week with the first-team offense. So maybe him getting out there, getting the juices flowing of a game will make him play a little bit better.
Yeah, it's so tough in that short period of time, especially when your first offensive series is a three and out. You wait all that time, you've gone through the weeks of training camp, you're like, I can't wait to get against another team, and you're going in a three and out, you know, just like that. It's tough to get into a rhythm, so hopefully he'll get some more snaps this Monday night and get him more acclimated to playing with Howard Mudd's scheme. Because, it's one thing to do it in the OTAs. It's one thing to do it in training camp and the practices, but you need that game action, you know, against an unfamiliar opponent, especially at this point, an unfamiliar opponent, because you're not really game playing for them whatsoever. You just really need to get that experience on the field, and the only way you're going to do it is through game reps. So hopefully he'll get plenty of action, you know, this Monday night. And again, with the first team offense, I've been talking with a lot of guys, and they just, you know, for them, they just want to get a confidence boost going into the rest of this preseason. You know, they'll maybe play, I would guess, maybe a series or two, most a quarter. I guess if you're flip-flopping what teams usually do between the second and third preseason games, maybe you'll see them for a quarter against the Browns. I don't know how much they're going to want to show just because that's a team they're going to be playing against in week one. You're not going to see them in week four against the Jets. So you really want to give them, you know, you want to get as much opportunity, you want to have as much success as possible just to get a good feeling, knowing that, you know, you're building upon what you did in 2011. You're building upon all the work you've done during this offseason, having the full offseason to work together as a team. You've had a very good training camp. You just want to be able to continue that momentum going and have some results out there on the field to show that all the hard work has paid off. Bo, in the background there, doing a phenomenal job checking your Twitter.
Absolutely. Also, I'm a handsome man. All right, Joey from Maryland back on the line here. Joey, who are you looking forward to seeing on Monday night?
The person I'm most interested in is Michael Vick, because really our season comes down to him.
Fair point.
I think he needs to back up everything he's been saying this offseason.
Fair
about
point.
About playing smart and avoiding injury and everything. I mean, the other position battles that y'all have been talking about are important, but this league, it all comes out to the quarterback.
I can't disagree with you too much there, Joey.
Joey, definitely, you say it's a strong case. Very, very true. And, you know, again, this is a guy that we've been excited to see have the full off season. We saw what it did for him in 2010, but this has been talked about many times, maybe not so much in the last few weeks with training camp, but this was his first full off season as a starting quarterback since he was in Atlanta. So you definitely want to see it come to fruition. And it's really interesting seeing some of the reaction on the message boards. I was perusing them last night, and there are a lot of fans who are saying, look, they don't have faith in number seven at this point. They don't think that he can come through with a big playoff win, even though with all the heroics that he did in that amazing 2010 season, they don't think that he's a guy that can deliver in the playoffs. And there are some fans that are like, they'd rather go through their growing pains with Nick Foles now, make him the week one starter and, you know, start the new era, so to speak, versus giving this established Pro Bowl quarterback, you know, his chance to come in and capitalize upon all the opportunities he's had this offseason to really hone his craft, to really work with the coaches, to do all the little things that he did not get in the previous offseason?
I'm a big Michael Vick fan, so I'm hoping that we don't go to the growing pains too quick.
No, I don't see that being the case whatsoever. And quite honestly, I was hoping for this from the little bit of action they were going to get against the Steelers. I was just hoping that they would have a strong performance just for the reason that the fans would get behind the team and it would take what they saw. And even though they'd probably make much more of it than they should, they would just have a really, really good feeling if the offense went out there in their one drive and scored a touchdown, you know, instead of what we saw in those two series. So now the fans are kind of questioning whether Vic should be the quarterback. Vic's the guy. There's no question about that. But you just want to have a much better, more confident feeling going into the season. It'll be good to give the fans that sense of relief.
Yeah, I also think that Vic is more of a seasoned player. I think he does good when the spotlight comes on for the most part.
I would definitely agree with that, Joey.
All right, well, thank you.
No, thank you for the call, Joey.
No.
And the other thing is that you sort of touched on this. Andy Reid has talked all offseason about how Michael Vick has led the way. He has taken those reins as the guy leading the team, been here for every workout, setting a good example as the leader of the team. And, you know, we talk about it, we bemoan it all the time. This is his first full offseason as the starting quarterback. But there's something to be said for that. And I think that Michael Vick certainly has some big expectations for this year. And as long as he stays healthy, that's the always thing they have to throw out there. As long as he stays healthy, I think it will be a big year for number 7.
Yeah, you know, obviously he has to stay healthy. It's something that's so hard to quantify. It's like, how does he stay healthy? You know, I mean, unless you're going to have some conservative game playing where he has only 3-step drops and gets rid of the ball quickly, which just isn't going to happen. It's a tough thing to watch, especially when the other night, you know, against Pittsburgh, he got injured on a play where, you know, if he was a little bit more aware of what was happening in the pocket, maybe he doesn't suffer that injury. Those are the little things, the subtle things that you hope to see corrected from Michael Vick with the full off season. You know, hopefully we'll see a good presence in the pocket this Monday night.
All right, let's take another commercial break. On the other side, we're going to bring in Sheil Kapadia, talk the specifics of this 53-man roster. How is this 53 guys going to be shaken out? We'll be back with Sheil Kapadia on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, the kids wanted a puppy, but they can be really expensive. So to save money, I just found them a possum.
Dad, I think he's dead.
Probably just playing possum. There he is.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
What? You got a dog?
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go.
Wow, wow, wow. No.
Yep.
Here we go. Here
we go.
Thank you. Here we go.
Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. Just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Eagles fans, join me, Jeremy Macklin, and the entire Eagles team for a night of football and family fun at Lincoln Financial Field for Eagles Flight Night.
See the entire Eagles team take the field for a thrilling practice and exciting surprises. The first 10,000 kids get a free DeSean Jackson mini bobblehead. Plus, you could win an autographed jersey right off of a player's back.
The Eagles 2012 season takes off for Eagles Flight Night, August 26th at Lincoln Financial Field. Tickets are on sale now right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I hope to see all fans of all ages come out and help us prepare for the 2012 season.
And welcome back inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, joined by Sheil Kapadia of Birds 24/7, the new home of all your Eagles writing. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
All right, so we're going to you put out your projected 53-man roster the other day. We're going to go through it, and let's start on the offense here. Now, I have a little bit of trouble giving this the credence it deserves because I don't see Steve Vallos anywhere on your list.
I know, but I tried my hardest to get your boy on there, but hey, it's still, we got three more preseason games, so I'm sure he'll have his time to impress. Maybe this will change next week.
All right, so we start at the quarterbacks. You say no Trent Edwards. That's, I think, the chalk decision there.
I've got that right now. A thought I had on the way in was, if Mike Kafka's not 100% healthy coming in, do they have to keep an extra quarterback as that backup in week one? But right now, yeah, I think Trent Edwards is out, and those are your three quarterbacks.
Very interesting notion, I guess, with Kafka. I wonder if that means that they would have to guarantee Edwards' contract, but something to keep an eye on for sure. And then the running backs, you have Bryce Brown getting that third spot over Chris Polk. That seems to be the way things are going right now.
Yeah, I think to me that's a long-term kind of projection. You know, Bryce Brown is the guy with the more upside to me, the guy who maybe next season comes in and really contributes. I think this year, McCoy and Lewis, those are going to be your ball carriers. So I don't know that Bryce Brown contributes as a rookie, but I think he's shown enough to make the roster.
All right, so Havili gets the nod at fullback. Then we go to wide receiver. I think at this point, Demaris Johnson is all but a lock for this team. The sixth guy you have, Marvin McNutt, he flashed a little bit in training camp, has quieted down a little bit. How comfortable do you feel that he'll be on this team?
Well, I agree with you about Demaris Johnson. I think I think he's a lock right now. He's shown enough as a receiver in special teams. But Marvin McNutt, yeah, he's certainly on the bubble. You know, I don't see another receiver who's really shown me enough to push him for that sixth spot, and I tend to always give those rookies, the draft picks, the benefit of the doubt. The Eagles obviously liked him back in April, so I think he's shown enough to kind of sneak on the roster, probably being inactive on game days, but again, that's kind of a future projection.
Any chance you think that they go light there and go with five receivers?
I think it's possible, but I didn't see another area where I really, you know, I don't see them keeping a third tight end. I know we'll get to that, but if there was another area offensively where I felt like they needed to add some depth, maybe I would do that, but right now I think it's going to be six.
All right, and I tend to agree with you, only two tight ends right now. That's what they've gone with the past couple of years, and Brett Brackett and Chase Ford have been solid, but they haven't, I don't think at this point, done enough that they merit a necessary roster spot. So we go to the offensive line. You've got nine guys, usually nine or ten for the Eagles on offense with the big guys. Your backups here, Dennis Kelly, Dallas Reynolds, and Julian Vandervelde inside. Tell us about those decisions.
That's a tough one. You know, I look at offensive line depth. I think that's a concern right now for the Eagles. That could be an area where when teams cut down their rosters, perhaps you see the Eagles add a player or two. Kelly, I think, is someone who's going to be on there, like I said, for future potential. Offensive tackle has played some guard, too. Backup center is a concern. You know, Jason Kelsey, the importance on his position this year with making those pre-snap adjustments and really doing a lot in tandem with Michael Vick, they've got to find a guy who, if Kelsey goes down, they're going to be comfortable with. Dallas Reynolds, I think, could be that guy. That's why I've got him on there. Julian Vandervelde could be that guy also, although I thought he really struggled in that first preseason game. So they've got to make some decisions there for sure.
And Dallas Reynolds is such an interesting guy. Been on the practice squad for 3 years. I think we sort of wrote him off. But he's been getting all the second-team reps for the most part at center. He even got some first-team reps at guard when Evan Mathis was out. It seems right now like he's pretty safely on there. It's an interesting career path for him for sure. And then the other guys who were left out there are Gibson and Vallos, and sixth-round pick Brandon Washington, who's had the concussion, hasn't really been able to show what he can do.
Right, yeah, Washington is largely an unknown right now. The other two guys have a shot. You know, I wouldn't rule either guy out right now, Gibson or Vallos. Like I said, they got to find someone who can play guard or center, who can be that active interior lineman on game day should one of those guys go down.
So we go to the other side of the ball now, and this is, I think, probably the toughest decision that the Eagles are going to have to make, how they're going to shake out this defensive line. There really seem like if you put Mike Patterson on the PUP, if that's what you're thinking you're doing, it seems like there's 11 guys, and you have all 11 of them staying.
Yeah, I'm going heavy. I think I'm the only one who's got all 11 making it right now. Certainly that can change. I think the guys really on the bubble are Darryl Tapp and Antonio Dixon. I know some people have mentioned Phillip Hunt, but I just look at his age. I look that he's under team control contract-wise for, I think, three seasons and really the potential he's flashed as a pass rusher. With Trent Cole and Jason Babin getting up there in age a little bit, I think Phillip Hunt's not a guy you want to part ways with. And Darryl Tapp, I'm probably higher on him than a lot of people. I think he's a valuable veteran. I think you look at this defensive end rotation, he may be the second most well-rounded defensive end they have. He's not a pass rush specialist. He's someone who can come in if Trent Cole gets injured, play a lot of snaps for you at right defensive end. So maybe they look to move Tapp in a trade. Maybe he gets cut. But right now, I just see them going heavy there on the defensive line.
It's such a tough decision. And the one thing that makes me think that they may only keep five ends is because Cullen Jenkins has been playing so much defensive end when he's been out of practice. But I really don't know how you could part ways with a guy like Tapp. It's a very difficult decision. So we move on to linebacker now. And really here, it seems like roster spot-wise, there are five guys who are some sort of locks. And that sixth spot is between Akeem Jordan and Keenan Clayton. You give it to the veteran Jordan, who's so good on special teams.
That's the reason why, yeah. Akeem Jordan, he knows all the positions in case he has to come in. I don't see him playing a big role for this team defensively, but special teams is an issue, and kickoff coverage and punt coverage were outstanding last year. I think that's not something you want to lose going into 2012. You really want to put this defense in a good position to be field position wise, and I think Akeem Jordan gets the nod there ahead of Keenan Clayton.
Okay, so in the secondary now, and this is where there might be some a little bit of disagreement. We only have five cornerbacks: Nnamdi, DRC, of course, the starters, Hoselio Hanson, Curtis Marsh, and Brandon Boyk, and those guys all sort of seem like locks as long as Hoselio is your nickel cornerback. But you're cutting Brandon Hughes and Cliff Harris. Tell us why.
Well, Brandon Hughes right now, I think the only way he gets on the field is if you suffer injuries to both Nnamdi Asamoah and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. I think they seem pretty comfortable with Curtis Marsh as the first man up if one of those two guys goes down. So I think when you're building that 53-man roster, not an immediate need for Brandon Hughes. If you do suffer injuries there, maybe you can pick him back up if he doesn't catch on with another team, or you can find another cornerback to kind of fill in. The other guy you mentioned, Cliff Harris, really liked him at the beginning of camp. Of course, suffered that ankle injury, and I'm not ready to count him out quite yet. I have the 11 defensive linemen right now, but I think if Cliff Harris flashes here in the next couple weeks and they really think he's a guy who you can't stash on the practice squad, I think Harris could make the roster, and maybe you go with 10 defensive linemen.
And then the eye-opener at safety, second-round pick from last year, Jaquan Jarrett, not on your roster. Tom Nelson is the fourth safety. Give us the reason.
To me, the reason with Jaquan Jarrett, we know coverage hasn't really been his strength. He was never billed as a great cover guy. And what I've seen so far in that first preseason game is he really struggled with the other aspect of it. Andy Reid talked about it, taking good angles to the football, being a good tackler. If he can't show that he's not only good but outstanding in those areas, I really just don't see a reason to keep him on this football team at the start of 2012. Tom Nelson, I think, was active for four games last year, but I think he had five special teams tackle. So if Colt Anderson isn't ready to go to start the season, you buy some time maybe with Tom Nelson. Is it going to play a big role for you defensively? But that's the reason I kind of switched it up there.
Yeah, Jaquan, I think, knows that he didn't play very well. He's got three games left to sort of change that perception about him. Going to be interesting to see how he does against the Patriots. Is there anybody else you're looking to see to keep your eye on against this Patriots team?
I think special teams. We still got to watch that punting battle. I know it's not the most exciting aspect of the team, but like I said, coverage units were very good last year. They need to make a decision there between Matt McBryer and Chaz Henry, and also keep an eye on who's holding on those field goals, because that's a kind of an important factor for that punting position.
All right, great stuff. Sheil Kapadia, you can follow Sheil on Twitter at Sheil Kapadia, and Birds 24/7, the new website with him and Tim McManus, phillymag.com/Eagles. Sheil, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bo.
All right, back with more on Eagles Live.
For all you at home, there's no excuse why you should ever look like this. Don't do it to yourself.
Go ahead and crank it up to 20 to start. No, it's good to just get up here and just being in the nature of everything. It's very relaxing.
Good job, girls. Good job.
2-2 right now, my book.
2-2.
In my book.
Ain't no such thing as 2-2.
Final round.
The audience choice ingredient?
Bud Light!
And here we go.
Looks like Chef Dubois is emulsifying the Bud Light into a foam. What's his competitor doing?
He appears to be having a really, really good time.
A Bud Light reduction for Dubois. And his opponent?
Also improvising nicely. Let's see that again.
Judges.
I like the use of the pressure cooker to tenderize the beef.
But also the use of the cell phone to order the pizza.
It's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Sorry, Chef. We're going to need more ingredient.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Eagles fans, join me, Jeremy Macklin, and the entire Eagles team for a night of football and family fun at Lincoln Financial Field for Eagles Flight Night.
See the entire Eagles team take the field for a thrilling practice and exciting surprises. The first 10,000 kids get a free DeSean Jackson mini bobblehead. Plus, you could win an autographed jersey right off of a player's back.
The Eagles 2012 season takes off for Eagles Flight Night, August 26th at Lincoln Financial Field. Tickets are on sale now right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I hope to see all fans of all ages come out and help us prepare for the 2012 season.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I feel a little lonely here. Great stuff there from Bo Wolf and Shield Kapadia breaking down their projection or Shield projection of the 53-man roster, I should say, at this point. We've unleashed our team to go cover head coach Andy Reid's press conference. We'll have it for you here in a couple of minutes. And we also still have all-pro running back Brian Westbrook coming into the studio in just a little bit. So make sure you sit tight. We still have some great stuff for you. For now, we're getting back to our hot topic question of the day. Which Eagle are you most looking forward to seeing in action on Monday night? We're going to go to John from New York. John, who are you most looking forward to seeing against the Patriots?
Definitely looking forward to seeing DeSean Jackson. Want to see how he's going to do this year. I know there was a little bit of drama last year. Caught a little bit of an attitude there, so just looking to see where his head's at, and hopefully he can get his head back in the game this year.
I certainly think he has the way he's conducted himself the entire off season here. Obviously, getting the big contract took a lot of pressure off of him. That's something that it just weighed him down last season. There's guys who can respond to that situation. There's guys who can play through it, and DeSean was not a player who was able to do that. So the Eagles rewarded him. They know that he's one of the core members of his team. They know he's one of the most electrifying playmakers in the entire league. You know, he's a homegrown guy for this team, a former second-round pick, and he's come in with the right attitude, just the way he's been around his teammates. I think it was a quote from Jason Kelsey where he told a reporter that he's just so much different in the locker room. It's not just all business. It's not just football, that he's actually showing, you know, his personal side. He's interacting more with teammates. You know, this was a guy, John, where his rookie season, you could tell immediately the impact that he had on the guys in the locker room, just the way that the guys responded to him. He's just one of those rare talents that he's so personified by his play. He has a personality and the charisma to back it up on top of it. He's a fearless guy. No, I'm much looking forward to seeing what DeSean Jackson does here. It'll be great to see him against the Patriots, especially that was a team. It was a game in particular where he was actually benched in the fourth quarter because he wasn't performing. So it's kind of intriguing to see how full circle he'll come, having gone against the Patriots last year and going through all the struggles, and now seeing him back in action on Monday night.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Anything else you want to add, John? Anything else you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, a little off topic, but okay. I'm just wondering how Vic is going to protect himself this year. I know we have a few new assets, but that's really going to be key to us actually making the playoffs.
I fully agree. I mean, you look at most teams around the league, if they lose their starting quarterback, and John, thank you very much for the phone call, if they lose their starting quarterback, they're not going to make the playoffs. And Vic is no exception. I won't say he's not an exception, but certainly this team is going to make a Super Bowl run this year. It's going to be on Vic's shoulders. And I know fans were scared. I myself, being in the press box at Lincoln Financial Field last Thursday, I was scared seeing him hit his hand and come into the sideline in obvious pain, you know, worried that it was going to be broke, worried that the thumb was going to be something that would linger into the regular season. And it's just the one thing you don't want to see in this preseason is a major injury. We've been fortunate at this point, knock on wood and anything else around you, that we have not had to deal with it at this point. But, you know, as much as we're excited to see all these backup position battles and which guys might thrive in the starting lineup, we want to see the quarterback succeed. We want to see him protect himself. I remember the fans at Lehigh gave him a standing ovation the day they did a drill that was designed for him to slide. I mean, it's been a few weeks, but one of the biggest storylines at training camp was President Obama telling Nnamdi Asamoah how he wants Vic to slide. And, you know, Michael Vick saying, well, it's president's orders. And, you know, if the president's telling me to do something, I guess I got to do it. Well, Vic, everyone's been telling you for years, your coaches, your teammates, everyone wants you to slide and protect yourself. We don't want you to be so conservative where you take away your legs, which has made you one of the most dangerous, basically the most dangerous all-around quarterback in the history of this league, the all-time greatest running quarterback in terms of yards. I mean, his athleticism is second to none. It's just a freak to see out there on the field. We don't want to see you take away altogether because it's such a unique weapon in this offense, but at the same time, you know, if you can get out of bounds after a five-yard gain, you know, instead of taking a big hit for only a couple extra yards, I understand he's a competitor. I understand, you know, the desire he has to win. I understand the aspect of it, you know, but you got to just tone it down for the greater good more than anything else. So we have any other phone calls coming in? We've got Coach Reed. So let's go to the head man himself, head coach Andy Reid, addressing reporters just a couple of minutes ago about who's going to be out there on Monday night, what he expects to see. Head coach, take it away.
Is that like did you break down priority-wise as far as what has to happen positive?
Well, listen, I mean, you want to sharpen yourself up from the last game is what you want to do. I mean, we understand we're still in the preseason, but you want to play good football. And we have an opportunity to play a good football team, so, you know, I think if you talk to both coaches, we'd probably tell you the same thing, that we want to play better than we did last week and improve and at the same time, you know, get the young guys in and that second group in for the latter part of the game.
What kind of challenges does it be for Kendricks with the tight ends they have?
Well, they're good players. Yeah, so your safeties and your linebackers, that's a big challenge. That's the primary part of their offense, pass game. They use combinations with those guys, and you got to be disciplined. Be great for Kendricks. He's a young guy, and be a great experience for him.
In the third quarter, what's going to dictate if they stay in there or if you go with the
team? I'll just get a feeling. I mean, you know, we'll just see how it all rolls and go from there.
With Nnamdi's injury, did you have any trepidation about, you know, playing him in this? I mean, what did you have to see to know that he was good to go?
Well, just getting the spasm out. You know, he was x-rayed, so we knew the bone, everything was good with bones and concussion. There were no concussions in it. So he had spasm in his back area, and it was just a matter of making sure that we got that calmed down, and he felt great. He's a good communicator, so, you know, feels like he's ready to go.
Is King going to play the whole time?
Yeah, most likely. Yeah, yeah. We'll see. Again, I'll just see how that goes with that. But right now, that's what I'm looking at.
Any thoughts on the replacement refs and kind of? I mean, do you think about that at all? Concerning?
Well, they're busting their tail just to, you know, to get caught up on the speed of our game and so on. And so they're working hard. I mean, they came up and visited us and you know, I can just tell you they're trying their hearts out. So. Whatever situation goes on, it goes on. And this is what it is right now, so we go with it, and I appreciate their effort.
What are the potential concerns if you have guys that aren't at the high caliber that you normally have?
Well, I can't go there. You know, these guys are busting their tail to try to get up to speed. I mean, that's what I can tell you. So, you know, they're going to keep doing it through these next couple weeks, and we'll just see how things work out from there.
In D'Amico Ryan's case, much is made about his leadership qualities, but as a football player, what have you seen in camp and in these past few days?
Yeah, listen, every day he gets a little bit more familiar with the defense, and so you see him playing faster, you see him getting off blocks faster, he understands the gap responsibility and the changes that take place up front with the defensive line, and he's just, and then he's very composed when offenses throw different formations at you and different personnel groups.
Do you expect him to take a bigger step Monday night as he did
that first night in Pittsburgh?
Well, you saw some good things at Pittsburgh. You saw him kind of feeling it out at the beginning, and then as it went on, you saw him reacting, and it looked like he just felt a little more comfortable. So I expect everybody, I mean, to answer your question, I expect everybody to step it up and and do a better job than what we did the last game.
What do you want to see out of Jaquan Jarrett Monday night?
Well, I just, again, he's busting it to make sure that he gets better. And so he knows, he's identified the problems, he knows the problems, and he's worked on them like crazy out here. And so I would imagine that he would get that taken care of. That's the kind of person he is. He's a good football player, and he's always working to get better.
I mean, you don't want to have injuries and stuff, but when you see a guy like Brandon Graham, do you kind of get the sense that he's really kind of benefited from all the extra snaps he's getting?
Well, I think it's been good for him. I think this camp's been good for him all the way around, just getting him back into that tip-top shape. And he worked very hard in the offseason to keep his weight down and make sure that he came back in good physical condition. So I think it's paid off for him this camp. And now it's just a matter of playing. The more reps he gets, the less hesitant he'll be or have any reservation of just smoking off of the ball fast and furious. So, and you can see him doing that. He's getting better every play he has an opportunity to do it.
What does Colin Jenkins give you at defensive end? We've seen him lined up there quite a bit.
Yeah, listen, he gives you a little bit in the run game is what he gives you, just a big body. And he's athletic enough where he can still pass rush from out there and just gives you another big body, 300-pound guy out there that can move like he does.
It looked like Deshaun was laboring a bit out there with his back. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, he's all right.
Okay.
All
right.
Thanks.
All right. So one note that we missed there from the beginning of the Andy press conference, four players will not play, have already been ruled out. Obviously, you knew about Jason Babin, Riley Cooper, and Mike Kafka. Also, Casey Matthews not going to be playing this week. Otherwise, everybody else is good to go, so that means Ocelio Hansen plays against Wes Welker. So 86 guys going to be out there against the Patriots, proving their stuff.
It would have been interesting if Jamar Chaney was not going to be out there as well. You wonder how close he is to being 100% following the hamstring injury that's bugged him. He's been in practice the last couple days, so it'll be good to see him back out there on the field in action. So we're going to go back to the phone lines now. We're going to do the hot topic again. Which player are you most looking forward to seeing on Monday night? And we have an oldie but a goodie here, Ryan from Pottstown, checking in here. Ryan, what's going on, man?
What's up, Bo and Chris? Hope you guys are doing well.
So doing Ryan? Outstanding. So long since we've heard from you, brother.
Yeah, man, I guess I've been busy. You guys are always busy. That's a positive note. What I'd like to see, who I'd like to see this Monday night, I'd like to see the starters, the projected starters, play a little bit better. We only seen Mike Vick, three passes last week? How long are the starters going to play, do you think?
They're going to play into the third quarter.
Well, I'd like to see some good production out of them, because whoever makes the team after them, when they're called to step up, they do their part. But definitely the projected starters and the guys that are getting paid the big bucks, I'd like to see them, a little bit more production out of them.
Yeah, you definitely want to see the starters go out and doing well. Again, this is a situation where it's the last time you're going to see them get significant reps before the start of the regular season. You know how explosive, you hear all the great stuff that the Eagles have done in training camp. You just want to see that on the field and get a good feeling before you go into the start of the regular season. You want to feel good, just from the fan standpoint. And I think the players obviously want that little bit of confidence too. They just want to, know that all their work has paid off. So you definitely want to see that going into the start of the regular season.
Yeah, no doubt. And can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is Andy going for some kind of contest with the best mustache of the 2012 or something? Because my vote would be for him, no doubt, because that thing is definitely a rockin' stash. I mean,
it's a strong one, yeah.
Give it to Andy for Ryan from Pottstown, that the stash is looking good.
And, I'm sure he'll very much appreciate that, Ryan.
Of course. Of all the things, hey, Andy, all the things from your fans, definitely the best mustache right there. Great stuff. Ryan.
All right, guys. I will check in during the season and have a great Saturday and tell Brian Westbrook that he's a man and appreciated his efforts in this town.
Certainly. You know what? We'll get to tell him in person because we're going to take a quick commercial break now. And on the other side, the all-pro himself, Brian Westbrook, will join me here inside the studio right here on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, Eagles fans. Evan Mathis here.
Jason Kelce.
The 2012 Eagles season kicks off Sunday, August 26th at Eagles Flight Night.
At Lincoln Financial Field. But the real cool thing, the first 10,000 get a life-size DeSean Jackson bobblehead.
Look how small it is.
How did you even do that? It's wiggles when you shake it.
Tickets start at $12 and all proceeds go to the Eagles Youth Partnership.
Get your tickets today.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is people like options. I mean, you take Geico, you can call them anytime you feel like saving money. It don't matter, day or night. Use your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, whatever. The point is, you have options. Ah, how convenient.
Oi, crab cakes. What are you looking at?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson. Pleased to be joined in the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com by one of the all-time great running backs, number 36, Pete West. So good to see you in the house, man.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Brian, it's a little bit of a surprise seeing you on the other side of the microphone, working the media game. How has that transition been for you now that you're working with SiriusXM Radio?
Well, it's been great. I've enjoyed it. I've had a great opportunity to go out there and express some of my feelings and analyze the game. And so for me, it's just been a great opportunity.
You had a chance to talk with head coach Andy Reid,
yeah,
a man that you've known for a number of years. You're a big part of the team's success during the 2000s. What were some of the things you were able to glean during the conversation with Coach Reid?
Well, I just definitely wanted to show my appreciation for the things that he was able to bring to me and our successfulness as a football team. But you look at how long Andy Reid has been here and how successful all of his teams have been, and it's a recipe for success. Discipline, motivation, hard work. Doing all those types of things, the small things, the detail, attention to detail that Andy Reid brings, it's just been a great, great thing.
What was it like watching the team through your eyes last season, a team that obviously had so much talent but was not able to put together on the field?
Well, it was tough because I saw a team that underachieved, a team that had tremendous talent, however, didn't do all the right things, the small things, the detailed things to win football games. And for Andy Reid's team, to do those types of things is uncharacteristic, and it was tough for me to watch.
Now, those teams that you were a part of, you know, especially the Super Bowl team in 2004, up through your great years, especially 2006 and 2007, you had some real close-knit groups there.
Right.
How important is chemistry? That's something that we overrate, maybe not talk about as much. I mean, it seemed like last year with that Eagles team, it was something that really was something important.
Well, it is very important, and you have to have that chemistry. I need to be able to trust my guy next to me, and I need to be able to trust my offensive lineman and all of those types of things. So it's very important. But the bottom line is I want to make sure that guys are going out there and doing their job, and as long as everyone is a professional and making sure they're handling their business, we'll be okay.
You spent some time with Michael Vick Do you expect him to bounce back here in 2012?
Of course. I think the world of Michael Vick, I think the world of his talent, he can do a lot of different things for this football team. He has to play smarter. He has to continue to hold on to the ball, make sure that the other side of the ball is not catching the ball when he's throwing it. And if he does that, then he'll be okay.
One of the other all-time great Eagles, Trey Thomas, officially retired as an Eagle on Thursday. Talk about your relationship with him. He's paved the way for some of your great runs, some of the big screen passes that you had here as an Eagle. He was a guy that he was a tough guy, didn't really show a lot of emotion, was one of the leaders in the locker room, but was very caught up, had a tough time expressing all of his emotion about the team and the city and Coach Reed. Talk about how important Trey was to the success of you and the team as well.
Trey, when I look at all my offensive linemen, not only Trey, but did a great job of blocking for me, did a great job of doing all the small things, cut blocks, communicating the things that we need to do as a running back core as well as an offensive line to have success. Stalwart at that left tackle position, a guy that can run block and pass block. And it's very rare in the time of specialized players that you find a guy that can do both. But he did a great job of both. And, you know, and he's just a great guy. And so he's one of those guys that I have fond memories of.
You're not surprised, I'm sure, by LeSean McCoy's success, someone that you kind of took under your wing and mentored early in his career.
LeSean McCoy has done a great job. When I think about him, I smile. I'm happy because he's come a long way, and he wasn't very far off when he got here. And so through his hard work and a little bit of help here and there, he's gotten a lot better. But he's continued to get better and improve every single day, every single game, and that's all you can expect from a young man like LeSean.
So who's better of the two of you? A lot of fans have to debate it.
It's been debated. LeSean McCoy, the things that they ask him to do from the player's perspective is totally different than the thing that they asked me to do. The team is a little bit different, so it's hard to compare. We have a lot of similar attributes, and so, it's kind of a toss-up.
How much do you miss the game?
You know, I enjoy watching the game. I appreciate the things that these young guys are doing out here in the game. I do not miss practice. I do not miss training camp. And so I appreciate the game for what it is now.
Brian Westbrook, certainly miss you in the locker room. Miss that leadership, that presence, that charisma. And definitely an interesting debate with you and McCoy, which is the better back. So, but some of the things that you could do, clutch players, pass blocking, some elite level performance there. Also had over 2,000 all-purpose yards for crying out loud.
Worked out.
One seed, you know? Just off the shoulder a little bit. Brian Westbrook, All-Pro. Thank you very much for joining us here in the Xfinity studio right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Something about the Meadowlands, something about that stadium, something about New York that kind of always triggers the best in myself.
We need to take care of everything. Win on three. One, two, three. Win.
We got to keep working, roll our sleeves up and get the work done in practice and be kind of a blue-collar team.
The 25 under club.
We got it, baby. We got it.
It's all about bringing your A game and understanding what it takes to be a Philadelphia Eagle.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Final round.
The audience choice ingredient?
Bud Light.
And here we go.
Looks like Chef Dubois is emulsifying the Bud Light into a foam. What's his competitor doing?
He appears to be having a really... really good time.
A Bud Light reduction for Dubois.
And his opponent?
Also improvising nicely. Let's see that again.
Judges?
I like the use of the pressure cooker to tenderize the beef.
But also the use of the cell phone to order the pizza.
It's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Sorry, Chef, we're gonna need more ingredient.
So anyway, I've been to a lot of places. You know, I've helped a lot of people save a lot of money. But today, things have been a little strange.
Meep meep.
Meep meep. What a strange place.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Flanked by Roy Hello and also Cooley, who takes the catch and he is fouled down. What a hit by Anthony. just leveled him for a two-yard loss. What a play by Asamoah.
He makes the catch, but he didn't net very much.
What's up, Eagles fans? This is Nnamdi Asamoah, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Great stuff there from Brian Westbrook. Thank you very much to him for joining us here in the studio. Now, in just a couple sections, we're going to go into the locker room where our cameras had a chance to catch up with Nnamdi Asamoah, who encountered earlier in the week a very, very scary hit from Nate Allen. You and I were right there, saw it live, and certainly you thought it was at least a concussion. The way that he was down on the field for so many moments afterwards, you thought it was something worse, but it's good that it was simply a sore neck, a lip laceration, and that he'll be able to play this Monday night against the Patriots.
Yeah, and despite incorrect reports that he blacked out on the field,
yes.
That was not the case. He was just talking to the trainers, Rick Burkholder. He suffered a sore neck and a pretty seriously fat lip, I guess you can say. But he's ready to play. He's going to play against the Patriots. And this is a big year for Nnamdi in his second year in Philadelphia. He's a little bit more comfortable in the scheme, and let's find out what Nnamdi says ahead of this Patriots game. Check out the sore lip on the cornerback.
Is this painful for you still?
It's less painful each day. I think it still hurts, obviously, but less painful each day.
Only the stupid questions make it
difficult. Yeah, I can't get certain letters out, but I'm okay.
How's your neck? I'm assuming you were talking about your lip.
Yeah. Neck's better. It's definitely better. Still getting treatment every day on it. So we're just making sure that there's no issues. But we took x-rays. X-rays are fine. It's just the pain down the spine kind of lingered a little bit longer than than I thought it would.
Was that scary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It was a fluke thing, but that it's never really happened before. And then just to go down and feel all that come down the neck. I was able to move. I rolled around on the floor. That was the first thing that I did. Make sure my teeth are there, you know. So I was, all that was fine, but it was scary at first.
Have you had an injury or collision like that in the past?
Yeah, but I've seen them coming. You know, I've hit big guys, and you kind of get that pain, same type of pain, but you see it coming, and you bow up and you do it. But when you don't see it coming, you don't know what to expect, so.
Do you have any trepidation about playing Monday?
No. I mean, if the game was on Thursday, if it was, not Thursday, if it was Friday, if it was yesterday, then I don't know how much I would have played. But I think come Monday, it's another 2 days, I think it'll be much better. And, you know, we don't play the whole game. It's preseason, so
right. Speaking it should be okay. Like the big guys, you just mentioned big guys. I mean, the Patriots got a couple of those, you know, the tight ends and – That should be. Can you talk about how interesting that's going to be, and what you think that could tell you about your defense and where you guys are?
Yeah, they got the tight ends have size and they have speed and quickness, so they play like big receivers. Still preseason, we want to get our base defenses in right now, so I'm not sure how much game planning we're doing. You'll see out there as far as matching up and that type of stuff, but we'll probably just see how much we can do with our base stuff and see how it works. But, you know, they've got some dangerous guys there in the middle that can, and on the outside, but they've got those big guys in the middle that can really hurt defenses in the pass game.
I haven't really been able to talk to you very much about your role this year. I talked to you before training camp, but I think a lot of fans just expected you to be lined up on one side playing man on the outside in every situation, and that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Should that be the case? Is that just not an effective way to approach complex offenses in this day and age?
I think it's effective. I think it has its time and its place. I mean, I did it for 8 years in Oakland, just either took a guy, took a side, and just played man, but you know, Juan has a different type of scheme than what Al Davis had, so we'll be doing some different things. I mean, there are times when we will go to certain guys and we'll match up, whether it's a receiver or a tight end, but, you know, it's not going to be like that the whole time. There's a scheme around this defense, and it's not just lock a guy up for the whole game. So,
Can you talk a little bit about what you've learned from Coach Bowles this year?
Learned a lot from him. You know, he's a smart guy. smart coach. You know, he has his experience in the league, really knows. He doesn't just know secondary stuff. He knows entire defense stuff. So kind of gets me ready for, you know, where to fit when I'm playing inside. It's helped me out a lot with my inside game. Last year, I wasn't, that was completely new to me, playing dime, playing nickel. You know, Juan's keeping that going this year a little bit, so that's where Coach Bowles has come in a lot with me, and he's helped me out.
What is he, you know, playing inside, what has he told you that's been really valuable?
You know, you get inside, and if you don't know what you're doing, you just think, okay, let me just play man. But, you know, when you have a complex defense, there are different things that you have to read. You have to read linemen. You have to read the quarterback. You have to read the backs. Then you have to read the guy that's inside. So, you know, he's kind of given me a crash course on that. And some things that I went through the whole season last year not even knowing. And they're just the basic things. So it's good to have him in here, a guy that's familiar with putting guys inside, especially a taller guy inside. That's a little out of the ordinary, you know, to have a taller guy go inside.
Right. So. And of course, he played inside.
Yeah, definitely. So he understands it.
Sorry if I missed this, but did you give any thought to kind of sitting out Monday night and taking it easy given the injury last week?
No, I mean, the day that I came out here and practiced in the beginning, I thought that I was going to be fine. But, you know, I put my helmet on and that wasn't the case. But I never gave thought to not playing. Like I said, if the game was yesterday, then there would have been some thought and maybe, you know, how much am I going to play. But it's preseason. We're not going to play the whole game. So I think going out there and just keeping my wind and, you know, my fitness, I think, and playing the mental game, playing the physical game, testing the neck out, and just going through it, I think that'll be important.
Thank you, Nandi.
Thank you.
All right, great stuff there from Nnamdi. And, you know, after reading reports that he was not really able to talk because of the lip laceration, it's good that the lip swelling has subsided there. But his hair, that fade's taking a beating, man, with the heat, the helmet.
I think he'll get it tightened up before week one. Also, Andy Reid said that as we guessed, the starters are going to play into the third quarter. He'll decide when to pull the plug there. And then he added that Nick Foles is going to play the rest of the game whenever Vic comes out, so we probably won't be seeing Trent Edwards this game, which is good. I want to see Nick Foles be out there as long as he can.
Certainly, you know what Trent Edwards can do. You know he's a veteran. He's a guy that's getting the scheme down. There's nothing to be gained. The rookie needs the experience, the game experience. It'll be good to see him working with the second-team offense. Now, we'll keep the focus on the quarterback. A lot of fans want to see what number 7 Michael Vick is going to do in the game Monday night against the Patriots. Again, the dress rehearsal for the regular season. Michael Vick at his locker talking to reporters just a couple minutes ago, and our PhiladelphiaEagles.com cameras were there to capture it.
How's feeling coming out of camp this year as opposed to last year when it's shortened? Now you guys are fully together the whole preseason.
Feels good. You know, feels good just ready to play some games and get, you know, assess ourselves in the preseason and get on to the regular season.
It's only the second game, but how much game planning are you doing for the Patriots?
You know, we did enough. We didn't do, you know, too much, but, you know, we put in enough so that we can go out and try some things and see what we can get accomplished.
This is a game where you guys, starters, are probably going to play a lot of time. Is it maybe a little more emphasis then on this one because you guys can see what you have?
Yeah. It's always important, you know, that second, third game to go out there and just, you know, just kind of get into the flow of the game and see where you're at and, you know, try to get some drives going, you know, if possible. And, you know, just kind of assess the situation, see where you're at. So this is going to be good for us. Going to be good. Great place to play to.
What do you have to – what's the key thing more than anything else?
I think the key thing for us is just to try to go out and sustain some drives and show some form of consistency. You know, we didn't have a chance to play too much against Pittsburgh. So, you know, something we obviously want to try to do, you know, just to get a good feel for our offense and where we're at. So, you know, just to go out and try to be consistent and stay on the field a little bit.
Mike, there's been, like, in preseason games, a lot of dink and dunk by a lot of teams. Do you see yourself using that to get into some kind of a rhythm against the Patriots or something like that?
Well, you know, we'll just see how it goes. You know, you never can, you know, say how it's going to all turn out. You can't really dictate what the defense is going to do. So you got to just react. And I think it's all, you know, just, you know, game planning is really not that much, you know, but at the same time, you know, still going out there trying to get some things accomplished in other different ways.
Mike, in your career, how much stock do you put in to the preseason? You know, the way you play in the preseason, you back into the
You know, you go out in preseason and you play because it's the game, you know, that you love. But, you know, obviously you have, you know, that concern, you know, in the back of your mind, and you want to make it to the regular season. But, you know, you got to block that out. You got to go out and play when you're out there.
Is it kind of strange, like, ramping up to the second game as opposed to, like, the third game?
Nah, it's no difference. You know, I think preparation is, it is what it is, and you know, take it for what it's worth, and, you know, sometimes that can be the fun part of the game, preparing for a team and trying to get ready to see what they're going to do.
Mike, how's the chemistry with you and Jason Kelce right now in terms of the pre-snap
adjustments? Me and Kelce has great chemistry right now. You know, we're on the same page, doing some good things, making some good calls. You know, I allow him to make calls some days he just allows me to do it. So, you know, that's a part of our growth, and we're doing a great job with it. I'm very proud of him at this point.
What have you seen out of the offensive line and King Dunlap in particular going into this week?
King's played well. You know, he's a veteran. We look forward to him going out and doing some good things for us this year and you know, helping this football team out.
Great stuff there from Michael Vick. Very excited to see him in action this Monday night. And again, we've been talking the whole show. Who are you excited to see on Monday night? We've gone through the list. Any other names you want to throw out there?
I think we've touched them all. Nick Foles, King Dunlap, Michael Kendricks, Jaquan Jarrett, Nate Allen, Brandon Boykin. There's the list goes on. I think there's plenty of guys. All 86, I want to see.
Yes, you want to see all the guys.
I guess
again,
85 if Trent Edwards isn't going to play.
That is true. So, again, injury situation. Who are the guys that are not playing on Monday night?
Well, Casey Matthews is the only surprise. Well, sort of surprise. We knew that Babin,
Riley Cooper.
Cooper and Kafka were not going to play, and Matthews makes four, so. That means that, I guess, Ryan Rao is your second team middle linebacker?
That's a great question. You would think yes. That was one of the things I was kind of thinking with Jamar Chaney being out, but I guess if Jamar Chaney is your second team weak side linebacker, Ryan Rao could be your middle linebacker. Hey, look, the guy's getting an opportunity, the Portland State product, rookie free agent. We'll see if he makes the most of it. Again, Monday night, 7:30 p.m. right here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Our coverage begins with the kickoff show. Myself and Adam Kaplan will be here in studio. Beowulf and David Spadaro will be reporting for Gillette Stadium. The game kicks off at 8 o'clock. You can watch it on ESPN or locally on 6 ABC. And then Adam and I will be back to give you not just the halftime report, but also the post-game show presented by Rico as the Eagles. They prepare for the regular season in their second preseason game by taking on the New England Patriots. We're going to have you covered soup to nuts the entire weekend right here on Philadelphia.com, so make sure you stay tuned. So for Beowulf, I'm Chris McPherson. Thank you very much for joining us on this special Saturday edition of Eagles Live. If you didn't get to see the entire show, you can download the podcast or watch the archive in just a few minutes here on the website, and we'll also cut out some of the best pieces, including interviews from Brian Westbrook, Ross Tucker, and Shil Kapadia as well. And if you didn't get to catch the Andy Reid press conference, we'll also have that for you later on here on the site. So, folks, until Monday night, have a great Eagles weekend. Take care, everyone. Let's go!